It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Ranked the top 10 running backs going into this season. Najee did not make it. And so this is another one of these tools that we have. Executives were polled, ESPN, Jeremy Fowler, they left him out of the top 10. I don't think he's going in the top 10 of any fantasy league draft. I mean, the star has fallen on Najee, maybe almost too far, where I say things like Jaylen Warren is the better running back because it's true. He is. But I do think that there is a contingent of fans that think the guy's garbage. I don't think that. It was a bad pick, and he's not better than one of the guys in the running back room who was undrafted. So that makes him look poor. But I do, like, this list of top 10 that came out, I think there's a case to be made he's better than 3 or 4 of the guys on the list. McCaffrey's 1, never going to argue that. Derrick Henry 2, ditto. Breece Hall... hasn't played a lot, but I would still
electric
say Hall is better. Yes.
Electric when he played.
Kyren Williams, same thing. Small sample size, but I happen to think he's better. Then from there, I think it gets interesting. Saquon Barkley's 5. If we were conducting this in 2021, let's say, Saquon Barkley is an elite running back. Right now, to me, he's viewed as a guy that could be good and probably will be good because of where he is. He's in Philadelphia with tons of weapons around him, a great running quarterback, and one of the best offensive lines in football. I think that Najee could do some approximation of what Barkley could do in that offense if he were given that chance.
I mean, the huge difference that puts Barkley way over the top, though, he is a way more explosive guy in the open field.
But he's also not good in short yardage situations.
I understand.
Historically.
I understand.
And that's
that,
why they'll have the running
Barkley,
backs push. He'll be pushing instead of running in that situation.
Also, because that play is virtually unstoppable when they run it. But I just think Barkley can turn a 10-yard gain into 80 if he gets a seam, and Najee has never shown an ability to do that.
You just said something that should happen this year. Okay? Get Najee at running back, get Fields in. And now you have a center who isn't awful, like Mason Cole, and have Najee, who's a big, powerful guy. Carolyn Clinton once dubbed him a plow horse.
And Didn't she mean it derisively, though? He's just kind of an old plow horse.
Yes, it was derisive, but in this case, a plow horse, do a plow horse job, plow. Plow into fields.
Put your shoulder in his ass and push him forward.
Donnie, am I nuts here? You're an old center. Why not do that this year some? You'd be stupid not to utilize Fields in that way, right?
Yeah, they should definitely try some of that.
And I think sometimes...
I mean, getting Fields on the move.
But hold on,
general.
The problem with that tush-push play is, haven't we found out that the Eagles are the one team that runs it really well and nobody else
does? Because not everyone has their personnel. Great center, great rushing quarterback, and running backs that just drive into them. I think we can have some facsimile of that. And also, off of that, with Fields' wheels, okay... Sometimes you could change it up and they think it's going right up the middle and boom, he scoots to the outside and look out. Oh. Instead of getting 6 inches for a first down, he's taking it to the house.
I want to run this by you about Najee. This is like kind of a quick left turn. Ryan Scarpino, former Steelers PR man, was tweeting about Pat Freiermuth this morning. Said... he would like it if Pat Freiermuth gets an extension, but he personally doesn't know if that's good for business and listed some things he thinks are shortcomings of Pat. Then he said this, Najee Harris deserves an extension more than Pat Freiermuth. I'm critical of him. He's been consistently productive. I'm not saying he should be extended. I certainly wouldn't do it. But if we're talking about who deserves it more, I think he does more than Pat Freiermuth. strictly on their production as a player?
I think Najee Harris, it's only about opportunity with him. I think the reason why he has the numbers he has is because they've given him so many touches. And so I don't think that that is, you're paying, when you give someone a contract extension, it is, what are you going to do for me in the future? Not what were you in the past? And for that reason, I would absolutely not give Najee a contract extension. That's why they won't guarantee him a salary for not this season, but the year beyond that. Roman Wilson, Warren, and Fautanu all limited today in practice. But I think Warren will play. I don't think Roman Wilson will. And my...
How much will Roman Wilson coming back to the lineup whenever it happens assuage any fears you have about their wide receiver situation? To what degree would it put you at any kind of ease?
A tad bit, but I feel like he's in a bad spot because he had no training camp, no preseason, and I think with his conservative head coach, he's not going to give him the chance to flourish in the offense. And if he does, it might be late enough in the season where he's not going to make the impact that he could have had he not been hurt on a stupid jet sweep play in training camp.
The ghost of Canada?
Yes.
Jet sweep!
The rest of the guys in this top 10, Jonathan Taylor, better than Najee.
Yes, he is.
Raheem Mostert, better than Najee. Jahmyr Gibbs, probably better, but wait, it is only 1 year.
That guy is closer to like the third best running back on this list.
I understand
but here's the issue. Explosive, incredibly gifted in
space.
Sure,
I mean, he's a lot like Warren.
I think Jalen Warren's very good. I think Jahmyr Gibbs could be one of the handful of best backs in the entire league
players. I don't disagree with that, but up until this point, he's been a backup running back in the NFL, and he'll have a bigger role this year, you'd think, but...
Well, one of my teams needs Montgomery to keep vulturing touchdowns.
And then 9 and 10 were Josh Jacobs and Joe Mixon, and I think there's absolutely a case that
Najee is better than
those guys.
I think he might be better than Mixon at this point.
Jacobs looked like he was ready for the glue factory last year, Chris. He looked wretched. He looked like his career was over, and I know he's in a much better spot this year, and that's why I picked him in several. I'm in 19 fantasy leagues. I think I have him in 6 or 7.
Josh Jacobs, though, the year before that, led the league in rushing yards and was averaging 5 a rip, man. I mean, the guy, when he has, and he's done this for a crap team. You were right. He averaged 3.5 last year.
He looked like he sucked.
I am aware. They gave him 340 carries the year before. For most of his career, I think he was the platonic ideal of Najee Harris. Not as big of a guy, but a guy who could take the ball a lot for you in offenses where there wasn't a whole lot else going on and be productive.
Shout out to Landon Roberts, who showed up at our fantasy football draft last night.
Cool dude. Talked a little. My brother lived in Houston, so I could talk to him about Houston food scene.
He has a very thick Texas accent.
He does.
I should have Texas Keith in a Landon Roberts talk about Texas slang and Texasisms and things like that.
Very, very thick Texas, like a Texas drawl. I did have to like listen very closely, and thankfully he repeated himself on something, because I didn't catch it the first time. It is thick Texas accent.
I think you'll hear a lot more of a Landon Roberts in the days to come, and that'll be a good thing, because he, I think, is someone that gets it and is a true Steeler.
He's a guy on the 70s Steelers would have looked right in place. He wants to come out there and put his helmet on you.
Fantasy draft, as per usual, we got terrible grades, because we didn't just take the highest ranked player like Yahoo wants you to do.
Call this what it is. If you're a teacher's pet, Yahoo tells you you did a great job. Our boss, Spack, said he had one of the worst drafts of his career. He got auto-picked for a couple times because
the clock ran out.
He got an A or an A+. We got a C- for being bold.
I would guess Adam Crowley and Harry Callis, who auto-drafted the Fan Morning Show team, got the same rave reviews because they didn't make any picks themselves. Crowley and Callis.
I thought Crowley was drafting for them.
Oh, I thought you said he was not.
He was remotely drafting. He couldn't make it.
I can't get it out of my head what happened to him in Morgantown on Saturday.
It's the poop thing? I can't
escape it. Yeah. I go see Crowley at his tailgate. My wife and I and Bechtold is there in a Penn State jersey and then a flat-brimmed hat.
Penn State flat-brim?
Yeah.
I'm surprised Austin rocked. Hold on.
He's not a guy I think can pull off a flat-brim.
He's got good hair, though. He should just be the guy who doesn't wear a hat.
You look at Austin, you think flat brim hat guy?
He wears one pretty often, though.
And?
I mean, he does have a nice head of hair, so I'd probably just rock that.
So Crowley's there, and we're getting a sense for how excited he is for the game and what he's expecting and everything like that. We're making small talk, and he's like, I got to be honest with you guys. I've already had to take a crap in the Port-a-John here four times in the last couple hours. And apparently there were like moaning sounds coming.
Like,
no, more like, oh.
What, like the scene in Bridesmaids where she's pooping into the sink?
He's going, oh, or stuff like that.
It feels like hot lava.
It was not like a guttural noise. It was more of a, oh.
Like relief mixed with a little bit of pain?
I don't know.
Wait. Saturday, it was like humid and how many degrees down there?
No, it was super hot. It was very hot.
So the inside of that Port-a-John, conservatively, one, it smells like just unspeakable.
Yep. I've never had to do that in a Port-a-John in my entire life.
I've had to, like, down at the Montour Trail if I'm running and I know I've got to go. You just go in there for like maybe 90 seconds, get your business done, get cleaned up, and go.
See, I can't force it out that fast. I don't have that superpower.
When you know it's right on the edge, it's easy to do that, is get it out, and then you just get out of there as ASAP. He went into a Port-a-John when conservatively that Port-a-John's temperature, if you hung a thermometer in there, it was probably about 125 degrees with 100% humidity.
And it's people tailgating since like 5 a.m.
So
and
the
they're
stuff
liquored
coming
up
out of
and
people,
going crazy because it's their biggest home football
right.
game in decades.
The stuff coming out of bodies at that point is just
and I'm thinking
an
lines too because it's busy and there's so much foot traffic.
That's the
and you're waiting
noise
in line
made.
To just pee quick and he's going, oh!
How bad did he abuse himself the night before?
Donnie, I mean, you have tailgated for years. I mean, at the gravel lot with the guys. Can you relate to the plight of Crowley here from Saturday?
Not at all. I don't think I've ever... In fact, I know that I've never just had to, like, drop one in a Port-a-John.
And repeatedly.
Yeah, to do it four times. Four times means our guy was suffering, and here's my theory.
He did have a look on his face like he had been through it.
Like,
which is so
like a
ironic
pregnant woman,
because
kind of, right?
It's like
flushed?
Yes, but it's so ironic because it's the start of his college football season. He's back at his alma mater. There's supposed to be immaculate vibes.
I know, but too
and
much too soon,
he's
I think.
Sweating and he's
I have a theory.
Making noises.
I have a theory. I think I'm right here, Donnie. Tell me if this sounds about right to you. A lot of beers with your buddies, plus a lot of bar food, specifically wings, possibly of a spicy variety. I think he was pooping absolute lava snakes. I think he was.
Hi, I'm Cam Hayward from the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm here on Hot Ones, the football special.
Yep. Yes.
Yep. Check it out.
Yep, I think that's what was happening. I think liquid magma was coming out.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Out of that man.
Your heart care matters. Get your heart checked at UPMC Heart and Vascular Institute. Good reminder. Steelers and Falcons Sunday. Week 2 in Denver for the Russell Wilson homecoming game. Aditi Kinkabwala, NFL on CBS reporter based here in Pittsburgh, friend of the show, will be doing some reconnaissance work. She will be at the Seattle-Denver game in Week 1, so she'll be able to give us a robust scouting report on the Broncos and Steelers, and then she will be doing that game. She'll be in Denver for that one, for Bo Nix's second game as both a Broncos starting quarterback and Broncos captain. Aditi, brought to you by Bet365. Aditi, you are, I think, one of the best people in the world to ask the following question to.
Oh, boy.
So, The Athletic came out with a list of all 32 teams and said, Steelers fans going into this season are one of the most pessimistic fan bases in the entire NFL. And it sparked a conversation about how people here are just unhappy about winning nine games and losing a playoff game every year. So the reason why you're perfect is because A, you work in the NFL, you're around teams, you know what the league is like, and B, you are married to a Steelers season ticket holder and diehard fan. So you have the professional perspective, you also have the fan perspective. So your thoughts on Steelers fans being fed up with nine wins every year and no playoff wins?
I definitely think that there is more frustration within the fan base over the run of non-losing record, the run of non-losing seasons, but lack of playoff win than externally. I mean, I'll tell you openly, D'Amico Ryans walked into one of our production meetings where Arch and I were kind of having, Adam Archuleta, my analyst, and I were sort of having this back and forth debate about Mike Tomlin's relative success, considering that he'd had, again, never had a losing record and yet had not won a playoff game in so long. And D'Amico walks into this and he's like, I'd take that. And Brian Flores said it to me just 2 weeks ago when we were catching up and we were saying how much he misses Mike Tomlin. And I said, yeah, well, you know, I think it's really time to get back on the playoff win thing. And he said, there's a lot of people that would trade places with him. So I would say that you are correct that the fans have sort of a higher standard or expectation than the way the outside world views what's really been kind of a sustained, I shouldn't say kind of, what's really been a level of consistency that's almost peerless, really, for the run of Mike Tomlin's tenure. So, okay, that is correct. But I would also say it's Mike Tomlin and the Steelers organization that have set that standard and set that expectation. And they're the ones that make Steelers fans believe that it is their birthright, it is their fan right to expect more, to expect Lombardi trophies. I mean, it's Mike Tomlin who told Antonio Brown, you're hunting Lombardis and nothing else. It's Mike Tomlin who shut me down after he started the season 0-4, finished 8-8. And I said, well, that was relatively successful. He said, says who? I don't think that's a success. I'll never forget him saying that to me. So that's the one piece of it. The second piece of it, I don't think Steelers fans are pessimistic. I don't think Steelers fans are pessimistic at all.
What makes you say that?
I just feel like people are so bullish on and excited by Russell Wilson and Justin Fields and just think that their quarterback room is so much better than what it's been the last few years.
I don't disagree with that, but you say that, they say that, and then I say, all right, so what's your record prediction this year? And they say 9-8 in a first-round loss. So both things can be true.
Okay, but that, yes, that's fair, but that's also what they've completely gotten used to, right? I mean, that's sort of been the standard, for lack of a better word, the last 7 years.
Aditi, when it comes to this pessimistic discussion here, the same thing Pony cited to start you off with the personal and professional angle. They were, I think, Pony, what, the 25th most pessimistic fan base. It was like 40,
yes.
You know, the majority of the people that they talked to expressed pessimistic feelings.
Apparently the Saints fans, when they sobered up, were the most pessimistic here.
When you just take stock of the Steelers, and granted, you have to take stock of what's around them, division, conference, all that, do you see more reasons, you know, professionally speaking here, for pessimism or for optimism about the immediate direction of this franchise?
Well, optimism. I think that the division is really, really hard. And I think that that's a great point that you make in terms of everything is relative. I mean, you line up and you play and you end up with a winner. So it doesn't really matter whether you look good or you don't in a game. It's all about, at the end of the day, how many W's do you have? But having said that, they finally have a functioning offensive brain trust. And again, I keep hammering the same idea home, but to have someone who knows what he's actually doing when he game plans, who will take input from other really accomplished, good coaches and teachers, this is a really, really good offensive staff. And at the head of it is a man that not only has been a coordinator in the National Football League, but has been successful as a coordinator running an offense in the style that his bosses, Mike Tomlin and Art Rooney, are telling him to run it. So there's demonstrated success doing what he is being tasked to do. And he also has the added benefit of having been a head coach and sat in the head seat for a while. And that makes you better. That informs you. That experience is vital. So the addition of Arthur Smith is huge. They've invested in the offensive line. We won't know how great that line is until we get them all out there and we see what they're playing like. But okay, at least there was an investment. There wasn't this idea, oh, we'll patch it together and see what happens. There's some excitement about what these running backs can do, one of whom, in Najee Harris, should have a massive chip on his shoulder. And the other one, who's a genuine game breaker and gem, in Jalen Warren. And then that defense, you fully expect that defense to be a top quality defense. So we keep saying, I think the biggest question mark is the quarterback play. We'll see how that all plays out. I think that the idea, the plan, is to build around Russell Wilson in a way that he had the most success when he was in Seattle, when he had a great run game and he had a great defense.
Hmm. I've got two questions for
all
you.
All of that. Wait, but are you buying this? Like, no. Am I making it strong enough?
You are.
You don't think that the arrow is pointing up.
I
you don't think any of this makes sense to you.
It can make sense, but then I'm going to ask you, all that being said, because we are asking all of our weekly guests and big-time football names to predict the Steelers' record for 2024.
Oh, I don't. I can't.
Oh, you're not allowed anymore?
You have to warn me for that, so I can. Well, you know what? We just got more gambling policy stuff. We have so many.
This isn't gambling.
Things.
I'm not asking you to put money up.
I know.
The guys
know,
in studio,
like
Bill Cowher. Bill
Cowher
is gonna. Bill Cowher is gonna make a pick on who's gonna win the Super Bowl right before the season starts on Sunday.
Yeah, Coach Cowher's got a lot more juice than me.
Okay,
Coach
well,
Cowher
Matt,
can get away with
Matt,
a lot more
Matt
than
Ryan,
I can.
Well, but it's not him doing it off on the side for some gambling website. It's him doing it on the NFL Today. So if he can do that on the NFL Today at 12:55 on Sunday, I think you should be allowed to at least say what you think the Steelers' record is going
to
be.
I know, but I think this is one of those things that you need me to, like, you need to let me at least look at the schedule.
Well, how about this?
Summary of the schedule. Easier at the start, horrifying at the end.
By 6 o'clock, Aditi, I want you to text me your Steelers' record prediction. Okay?
You know what?
It gives you an hour and 20 minutes.
I hate to big time you, but I've got 3 Broncos interviews.
Oh, my God.
Believe it or not, I've got a bunch of other things. I got on a plane to Seattle tomorrow.
Well, Mike Florio's got Ravens and Chiefs tomorrow night, and he hit us with 9-8 and missed the playoffs.
Oh,
so what's your rebuttal there? I didn't prep him on that.
Mike Florio is just, but I have to come back to this town. I live in this city.
Mike lives in West Virginia. It's drivable.
Yeah.
He sent pepperoni rolls up to us. But if you've got an optimistic slant on things, you shouldn't be shy about giving the record.
You should be a bullion. Look, I just feel like decisions have been made. Things are happening that make you feel like this isn't just, I can't say that it's not going to be more of the same, but it's not like, okay, we're going to try to roll out things exactly the same and hope for a different result.
All right, so I'm hearing in that, I'm hearing 8 and 9 in that answer. Is that what you want me to write you down for?
No, I'm not saying that the Steelers will have a losing record.
Okay.
I mean, without even looking at it, Florio saying 9-8 and missing the playoffs isn't that,
so you want
that outlandish?
You want to copy Mike?
But I'm not confirming. No. I told you. I want to look at the record. I want to look at the schedule, please.
All right. Last one, then. And you have until 6 o'clock, or we're not friends anymore.
Really? Are we friends already, though?
Do
you count us as friends?
Do you? Does your husband?
Are we friends?
I think.
Does your husband say creek or crick?
Oh God, I have no idea.
Can you ask him?
Creek. No, he does say creek, actually.
Okay, that's
good. He actually used the word creek today. He said that the water drains through our yard, under the street, into a creek in my across-the-street neighbor's backyard.
All right, so he's not like all the way Yinzer. He's close, but he's
no,
not.
No, but he says measure
Does he say Warsh?
Sweeper.
Does he say Washington?
No, but his grandmother did. His late grandmother did say Warsh. I think that one... The first time she said it, I wondered what that was.
Yeah, I think that's right, though. Generationally, that sounds correct to me.
All right, Aditi,
you know
thank
the
you.
One? Wait, but I need to give you just one really thing.
Well, no, you're not allowed to unless you give me a prediction.
No, I have to.
No,
I have
you can't.
To.
We can't hear
it's
you anymore. Last, Donnie, put her down. No, nope, she doesn't want to give us a prediction. Goodbye, Aditi. We'll talk later. See ya.
Bye.
Yep. I'm going to stand my ground on that.
You're like Toto. You're
Donnie, is that
the
an unreasonable
so
request? Give us a damn prediction. Give us a record
that
prediction.
That was a browbeating right there.
Yep. I'm firm.
You gave her the Belfont snorkel.
I'm firm but fair, Malzie.
Firm but fair?
Yes. Steel Mill Saloon in Mount Washington. I'm going to text Aditi and say, if I don't get a response by 6, you're banned next week. You're out. I don't care about
I
Broncos
feel like I'll
interviews.
Be the one who gets in trouble for that.
I don't care about Cortland Sutton and Javonte Williams and
Sean Payton.
Zach Allen, okay?
Even though it's one of Pony's favorite coaches, screw Sean Payton.
He's a top 10 coach.
Oh, Pony would drive Mike Tomlin to the airport while taking an ass-kicking from Mike Tomlin if it meant he could get Sean Payton in here.
You're right.
You'd have to get Russell Wilson out
of
here.
I think he'd do a show with us.
Sean Payton?
Yeah.
I don't think it would go well since I've ripped him and said he's very annoying and off-putting despite being a good
coach. I think
coach.
In person, he would wow you and you would change your mind.
How about we just do a show with Kevin James, who played Sean Payton?
Kevin James still
movie.
Do stand-up?
No. No, he does like Adam Sandler movies now.
Yeah, it might be like a rare stand-up appearance, but I don't think it's often.
What if he did stand-up again and just did the bluest set you've ever heard? Just, you couldn't even put any of it on tape. It was
Isn't
so blue.
That what Bob Saget used to do?
He's just known as, he tells some of the filthiest jokes of all time.
Was it Craig's conspiracy theory that he thought Bob Saget was murdered?
There was one going around that people thought Saget got murdered, but I remember trying to like get to the bottom of that one, and it quickly became one of the dumbest things I had ever heard put out there.
Donnie, what's in the debrief today?
The debrief, September 4, 2024. I saved this one for today because it is so outrageous. This is like WWE stuff.
You straight up told me before the show, you were like, I was going to use it, but I couldn't because I needed us all to be together for
it. Yeah, it almost takes the prediction of Tom Brady getting divorced, which did happen. I think it takes that to new heights.
This is your big football prediction for 2024.
Yeah, I always like to throw out like
a zany one.
Like very like random wacky ones.
And, woohoo!
And somehow the goofiest ones end up happening.
Okay.
Like the T.O. comeback rumors, the Brady divorce. So maybe this one will happen. So, the Dallas Cowboys are going to miss the playoffs.
That's not that crazy.
Mike McCarthy is going to get fired.
Not that crazy yet.
Who replaces Mike McCarthy?
Bill Belichick.
Coach Prime.
Oh, okay.
And he says he will only coach if the Cowboys promise to draft Shadur with their first round pick.
Didn't I tell you that was what they were angling for down there? Jerry Jones would just love the idea of all that publicity.
Just to make sure I hear this straight. In season this is going to happen? Or
no,
at
no,
the
no.
end of the year, McCarthy's gone.
After the season.
Sanders comes. They have a handshake deal with Jerry Jones. Dak leaves.
Make
Sanders
move
becomes
heaven and earth to make sure Shadur Sanders
again. I
is
have
his.
To say, not that crazy. You've already been beaten to the punch on this on national TV. Mike Tannenbaum said that. Two days ago.
I said this.
Okay, Chris Mueller also.
And you made fun of it when I said it, but you gave Tannenbaum lots of credence.
I did not give.
There was so much credence given to Tannenbaum.
I just simply mentioned that Donnie is now regurgitating something that is everywhere. It's ubiquitous. Malzie's on this trail. Tannenbaum is giving it national credibility.
Okay, so two people said it.
But, man, I think Dion would get chewed up and spit out.
But one-third of the show has already said it.
Then he's on my side.
I think Dion, it would go very badly for him in the NFL. I know he wants to probably say, I'll coach professionals. I know how to deal with professionals. But I just think some of those guys wouldn't give a rat's ass who he was.
Do you guys find, speaking of coaches, is anyone else annoyed by this new Belichick?
Yes.
I'm on InstaFace now.
Yeah, I don't need to hear that.
Is that what he called it?
Yeah. Well, that was, remember the famous thing? I don't do FaceGram or InstaFace or whatever it was.
Okay, so just Instabook. Typical old boomer.
It was
talk.
Instabook SnapFace or something like that.
Yeah. But then Schefter rattled off, this guy showed up to press conferences in t-shirts that your dad wouldn't wash his car outside in or cut the grass in, Donnie. This guy would show
well,
up.
My dad
with,
would.
Dude, these were bad. These were holy. His nipples were out and stuff. Cut off sleeves. Schefter tweeted out this guy's media schedule for this year. Strategic advisor with the 33rd team, working with Palazzolo and Sam Monson. McAfee once a week. Manning cast for the first half of every game for Manning's Monday Night Football broadcasts. Every Friday, doing a new show with Peyton Manning, analyzing the Monday night games. Inside the NFL with our buddy Ryan Clark, and now his own football show on Underdog Fantasy. He's partnered with a fantasy football site, and he's doing his own show with Matt Patricia. That sounds like...
I saw Mina Kimes do a post about that on Instagram or something. Or no, it was Twitter, where she said, scroll down for a surprise, because it was Patricia like interviewing him. Patricia looks nothing like what he did. He looks like bizarre, like jarringly different.
Drop some pounds?
But I just... Yeah. The guy had such disdain for the media. I don't want to support his media endeavors.
Question. Do you think this is a tacit admission on his part that he's probably never coming back to coaching?
I think it's him. No, I disagree. I think he's trying to rehabilitate his image like we've seen other people do across the landscape of sports.
Look, I'm a kinder, cuddlier Bill Belichick.
Alex Rodriguez on TV is an example of that.
I'm Bill Belichick. I'm actually fun.
And it's also a way for him to show, oh, look, I'm keeping up with the game.
Yep.
I'm not just going away.
Okay, what happens now? Here's the real question. Does he start living the, not living the lie, but like living the fake out here, or living the gimmick? What if after a year of this, he's like, I actually like doing all this crap. It's not even close to the amount of work being a head coach was. It's kind of fun. They just pay me a lot of money to be.
He just leans into outrageous takes.
Listen, Bill Cowher.
I was going to say that happened with Cowher.
No one thought Bill Cowher wanted to sit at a desk and do NFL on CBS.
True.
And he loves it now. It's obvious. It's rare when it happens, because these guys are wired differently. But some of these guys, when they get out into the real world and they realize the money is still very good to just talk football and not have to coach it, they go, huh,
You're missing one key difference, though, between those
two
guys.
He wants to chase down the all-time
Correct.
Wins record.
And Cowher went out with a Super Bowl.
I heard somebody say the all-time wins record doesn't really mean jack squat, and I actually agree with that. Everybody knows how great Belichick was. Does he really need to pass Don Shula to get
I agree
like,
with
that
you.
Recognition?
Who cares that Sam Snead won more PGA events than Jack Nicklaus? He's got the most majors, and that's really all that counts.
It is all that counts. I'm serious. It is.
Donnie, good stuff.
We're going to get Tom Brady rumors, too, by the way. He's going to fuel them from the broadcast booth.
First owner to be...
Okay, well, just say it. Is he going to come back and play this year?
Come on.
I don't think he'll actually come back and play, but he's going to be fueling that fire like as the season goes
Single
on.
Single funniest team Brady could play for.
The Steelers.
They're close. The Jets would be funny. Rodgers gets hurt, and here comes Tom Brady in gangrene.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.